your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars and drive them old trucks. Let them be doctors and lawyers and such.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is hit us up there, 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, he is our senior United States Senator. Always a pleasure to bring on Tommy Tuberville, or we like to call him here on the program. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. That's a great lead-in song. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be socialists. That's what we're fighting now. My goodness.
Well, there's a lot of mamas letting their babies grow up to be socialists in America right now. Kind of an odd situation we're in. Well, I got you on, and I mean, we got a lot to get to here, but we have to hit on what's the most important thing in Alabama right now. College football situation in flux at Auburn. Alabama is doing Alabama things. So what do you make of it all?
Well, it's been a tough year for Auburn. I hate to see any school change coaches in the middle of the year. It hurts the players and the fans and kind of gives you less hope about the rest of the season. But Auburn made a change. And, you know, Hugh Freeze is a good friend of mine. I thought he was a great fit. And he did great in a lot of areas in terms of defense and some of the other areas, but at the end of the day, in these chuck and duck offenses, Jeff, you got to develop a quarterback, and it never happened for the last 3 years, and it put Auburn in harm's way, and Hugh Freeze and his staff, it had very little success, and so now Auburn's out looking, and hope to get somebody that can develop a quarterback, and not just going down the same path of just hiring a name, get somebody that can actually coach.
Yeah, I guess the expectation was the opposite. We had good defenses and very just lost-looking offenses. And you know, to his credit, I think it's maybe the offensive lines just never performed as they were expected to. And you know, those quarterbacks just looked like they were running for their lives during his entire tenure.
Yeah, good quarterbacks can make big plays out of bad plays. And if you just look even in the NFL, I was watching Bo Nix last week and what he did and won that game for Denver. And quarterbacks have to be athletic enough, and which Auburn had athletic quarterbacks. They just, for some reason, you know, they just couldn't escape and make the big play out of the bad play. And vice versa, look at Alabama. You know, at the beginning of the year, their quarterback really struggled against Florida State. But they developed him, and he's gotten better, and he's gotten better, and that's called coaching. And so you got one school in the state that's gone north and gotten much better and taken advantage of improvement, and now you got Auburn that didn't. So, I mean, it's not a drag on anybody. It's just that's the way college is now. That's the way sports are. I mean, you've got to, in this day and age of NIL, there's a lot of parity. And so you got to keep up, and people have to improve, and it just didn't happen.
I mean, 2 months ago, if you said that Ty Simpson would be at least start being mentioned for a Heisman Trophy candidate, you got laughed at. It was right after the Florida State loss. They looked, I mean, and you're right, that, you know, maybe that's like one of the, you know, Kalen DeBoer's like very underrated assets, like what he has done in a short amount of time, turning that around a complete 180.
No, 100%. You know, I watched the Florida State game, and I'm thinking, well, I mean, you know, I hope they got somebody else, you know, that's behind them as Auburn. You got to have depth. And then I went a few weeks later to the Tuscaloosa and went to the Wisconsin game. I mean, look, difference in night and day. I mean, it's just, and Wisconsin's probably a better football team than Florida State. And it's, but it just goes to show you got to build confidence, and there is coaching still left in college football. And again, it goes back to another thing. These offenses that they're running now, they're not pro-style offenses where a quarterback can think his way out of it. You have to perform your way out of a bad situation. You got to get into a better play after the ball snapped. Peyton Manning, for instance, he changed about 80% of his plays in the line of scrimmage because he saw what the defense was doing. These offenses don't do that. These offenses are more, hey, we're going to give you the play, go out there and make it work, and if it doesn't work, make a big play out of a bad play. So, yeah, I mean, there's a definite difference here. Auburn is just struggled at that on a whole offense. You know, offensive line hadn't blocked a lot of people either, hadn't gotten better. But, you know, Alabama's totally different situation where coach there just really done a good job of keeping everybody focused on the goal at hand and getting better every week.
Coach, we got you on here this morning, and you're rolling it out here on this program, but I wanted to get you to talk about the Understanding Basic English Requirements Act, the Uber Act, as it's called, and ride shares, and this is something you're spearheading. Talk a little bit about it for us.
You know, I hate new laws. I really do. I think that American people, we got enough laws in this country over the last 250 years. But again, when we've let all these people come across our border unaccounted for, don't know English, it's putting Americans in harm's way. Look at the CDL drivers, you know, you got to be able to speak English to drive one of these big, big, massive trucks because people are getting slaughtered on the highways. And it's not their fault. It's the truck driver's fault. They can't read signs or whatever. But I've heard from a lot of people, Jeff, and their worst part of their day is getting either in an Uber or a Lyft is the scary part, they say. And that's why, you know, today I'm introducing the Understanding Basic English Requirements Act, which spells out, by the way, the Uber Act. And this would crack down on requirements for people that ride share platforms and require their drivers to pass basic English literacy standards. What an idea, right? So we're not asking much. We want people, when they get in a car, that they can communicate, and they also know that that person in the front seat driving the car can read a stop sign. And these platforms, they've been hiring illegal aliens like crazy just to get their numbers up. Uber and Lyft, they're all about getting their numbers and more rides. It gets their stock up. So American is should be working for American companies. These illegals don't need to be driving cars. This bill is just common sense, and I look forward to working, you know, with my group of people in the Senate. Hopefully I get a few Democrat votes, but they're not playing ball right now with us, so it's going to be hard to get this through.
Well, you know, let's talk about the substance here. When we talk about basic English competency, I mean, do we have a standard in place? What does that look like?
Well, just be able to look and read the test that you're taking. You know, if you take a driver's test, it's very basic. You know, you look at a yield sign, you look at a stop sign, you look at a red light, green light, yellow light, what all those mean, turn signals, when you change in lanes. It's all basic stuff. So if you can get a driver's license, you should be able to have some kind of English, but surely the goodness, we're not giving drivers tests now in other languages. It would be obscene, asinine to do something like that. So we're just trying to put it in context where there's people across these 50 states that we have, and a lot of them like to do their own thing. They care less about the American people. They just like power. So we just want to make it to where everybody has to be able to read English and speak English if you're going to drive American citizens or even people that come into our country, keep them safe and be adequate in what you're doing.
Well, you know, I think there's, like you said, the safety components and then just the ability, because you're right, we're bringing in a lot of you know, a lot of immigrants to this country, and this is where we're going to, I guess, put them on these rideshare jobs, but that's, you know, not always in the best interest of the public.
Yeah. We love people who come to our country, come here legally, learn our language, go by our constitution and laws, make our country better. Don't call and chant death to America and burn our flag and want to do things that this country's never done. Don't try to change our culture. And so come in here and assimilate, and let's get along, and let's make this country continue to make it the best it's ever been and the best country in the world.
Joined by Senator Tommy Tuberville for just a few more minutes here. Hey, we got a little news coming across the wire here. I'm going to get your reaction. Nancy Pelosi is not going to seek re-election. How torn up are you there, Coach?
Just absolutely torn up. She hasn't been up here in the last 4 or 5 years anyway, mentally. I mean, these people stay up here forever. You got to be kidding me. And then the Republican side, too. We got people in their 90s. Come on, give me a break. I mean, and, you know, we had breakfast with the president yesterday in the White House, and he talked to all of us about, you know, changing some rules in the Senate, because here's the deal. It is so divided now. We're not ever going to get a vote in the Senate to pass a bill. The only thing we've gotten done in the last 9 months in the Senate is pass the one big beautiful bill, and that was reconciliation, which means you get 51 votes instead of 60. We didn't get one vote from them. We barely got all 51 votes from Republicans, because most, a lot of them are Democrats anyway. So President said, listen, if we're going to get anything done in the next 3 years, if we're going to open the government, if we're going to get another bill passed, if we're going to do stuff on tariffs, y'all have got to give me the opportunity to have 51 votes instead of 60 in the Senate, which means busting the filibuster. I'm totally on board with that. Now, it wasn't a few years ago simply for the fact that, you know, we were actually working a little bit. The Republicans were working, Democrats, Republicans. This is a new world. Just in a few years, the Democrats have gone off the deep end. You see that we got socialism coming in a lot of the blue states. We had a St. Paul mayor got elected. I don't know whether you saw this or not. And she gets up and says, oh, by the way, I'm an illegal. After she gets elected, I'm an illegal. I'm here illegally. I'm not really a citizen. I mean, what are we doing? And so if the president wants to get something done in 3 years, I'm all for it. Let's go to 51 votes on every vote. Let's give him what he wants, because we don't. It'll be over for us. The country will be a different country, and there's not another Donald Trump out there who really knows about how to build stuff. So we're between a rock and a hard place, but you got these hardcore Republicans that just say, hey, we need to hold on to our power. How about holding on to our country? Because what we're doing right now ain't working. We're $38 trillion in debt. Have y'all looked at the scoreboard? And that's what I've told them all. So it's different up here, Jeff. It really is.
Well, I know you're running for governor, but in the future, I mean, there will be a day when Democrats are back in charge of the United States Senate, and without a filibuster rule in place, I mean, how do you feel about that and giving them the kind of free reign?
Well, I want you to just listen to this. I'm here for 4 years, and these people on the left, with Joe Biden supposedly in charge, tried to destroy our country. They did reconciliation 3 times. They spent $7 trillion and was more than we were supposed to spend, put us all in harm's way. They changed rules and regulations. They put in these corrupt judges that you're seeing now that are, hey, they're going after my phone calls. I mean, come on. And so they about destroyed us in that situation. Now, it's taken President Trump 9 months to kind of dig us out of that hole. Now we got to give him the authority for 3 years. 3 years he got left to just go after and make this country better and better, to make the economy better. It's an economic revolution. One of the biggest things that's happening in mine and your lifetime is what's going on just 2 blocks from where I'm living right now. It's at the Supreme Court. And they're doing this tariff evaluation. Is the President of the United States, does he have the power to do tariffs? If they strike that down, heaven forbid, because our economy will go in a tank. And it's going to be really rough. And I just hate that you got a bunch of lawyers on there that know nothing about the economy that's going to make the decision. But hopefully they'll listen and do the right thing, give the president, whatever president, the ability to do tariffs on other countries, because if we don't, we're going to be a subject to the people across the world that's going to take advantage of America, but we will not be able to fight back.
Last question, we'll get you out of here on this. Any reaction to the elections, this off cycle? And, you know, Democrats had a good night. They were expected to, but maybe the margins were, you know, a little bigger for Democrats. Does that matter to you at all?
It doesn't make a lot of difference other than the fact that we played stupid on the Republican side. If you're a betting man, you knew this was coming. Now, I thought it would be a lot closer. But here's what we didn't run on. We didn't run on President Trump's economic revolution about helping. People don't realize we had Japan, we've had Korea, we had other countries put $5 and $10 billion into ports, into New Jersey, into Philadelphia, right outside of Virginia, bringing huge jobs. And President Trump did that. But what were we running on? Which is a small part of it, is all this DEI woke nonsense. And you should run on some of that. But run on the dang economy. And we did not talk about that one time. The economy's better. They're going to suffer. The people you know, we're sold a bill of goods, New York all the way down to Virginia, and socialism's coming, and it's coming to everybody. If we don't watch it, it ain't coming to Alabama after I win governor, because we're going to fight like heck. But, you know, we didn't run a very good campaign, but it was going to be hard to win anyway. But the midterms next year, Jeff, we're going to be very, very crucial. And it's going to be very interesting to see if the American people wake up and see that socialism never worked before, but for some reason they're buying a dream from these crazies, and it's going to end up in a bad situation if they take the bait.
And speaking of which, real quick, last night Auburn, the Turnpoint USA event, how did it go for you?
It went good. You know, people don't realize this, but in July we had it planned. I was going to be up there last night introducing Charlie Kirk, and we know what happened. Some crazed liberal woke idiot shot Charlie in the neck, killed him. He was killing because he was telling the truth. He was selling young people across the country about what you and I have been talking about, the truth about what we have to do to save the greatest country on the face of the earth. He was making a lot of progress, and they shot him for telling the truth. And but we had that last night. It was a great crowd at Auburn, a lot of young people, a lot of older people. And, you know, I spoke for about 20 minutes and started it out. And then Laura Trump and Benny Johnson and Eric Trump came up, and I think President Trump called in. I had to go out and get on the plane and get back to D.C. because we're voting as we speak. But it was a great night, great turnout, and it's the only thing that's going to save this next generation is something like Turning Point, which is a great organization. Charlie started it, and we're going to have to help finish it up and get more people involved.
Coach Wells, appreciate your time. Stay safe up there. It's a dangerous place, but we always like getting you on, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
All right, Jeff. God bless.
All right. That was United States Senator Tommy Tuberville there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Trouble, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas.